back in here, man. The boys are. I want to just give a quick Happy New Year to everyone. I know it's a couple days in, but here we are. Welcome to Stale and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast, located again in Quincy Point at the Mass Music Radio headquarters. Tonight, we got a big one tonight. Top Hockey Podcast, Spittin' Chicklets, presented by Barstool Sports producer Mike Grinnell, joins the show to discuss his experience and upbringing in the sports media industry. We also get into some hockey talk, including what's in store for the Bruins this season, Zdeno Chara's departure, and an absolute thriller in the World Junior Championship Finals last night between USA and Canada. Afterwards, with the Patriots sitting on the couch, NFL Wildcard Weekend is coming in hot. We'll have our takes on who we think will move on. We'll have some talk on the Celtics and how Peyton Pritchard deserves a statue in Beantown already.
Yeah, and I don't know why that ended in a question.
And our predictions for this upcoming Monday's college football playoff championship between Alabama and Ohio State. We have a classy show for you tonight, so let's get to it. Here's Mike Grinnell. We're here right now. Big one here, folks. Top Hockey Podcast, Spittin' Chicklets, presented by Barstool Sports producer Mike Grinnell joins the show. What's going on, pal?
What's up, boys? Excited to join the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
You're drinking Pick Whitney like we aren't?
Yeah, I hope you. I was going to ask you that. I hope you boys are enjoying some Pink Whitney right now.
I think our first meeting we did when we were going to start the podcast, I brought a bottle of Pink Whitney. Which
I think that was like the beginning. Yeah,
and it was really hot in here, so we all just started sweating, and it got kind of gross.
No, that all good things start and end with Pink Whitney.
Damn right,
that's a good advertisement right there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I'll just dive into it. So I mean. Obviously, you're at Barstool right now. It didn't all come easy. So what, like, made you want to get into the sports field? I know you have a terrific hockey background and everything like that, but what really gave you this edge and everything?
Well, I definitely don't have a terrific hockey background. I was pretty brutal at hockey, just like a mass high school hockey player. So don't really have a great hockey background. But
don't you? So I seen you at, like, club and intramurals up at Plymouth State. I mean.
Yeah, but I mean. Yeah, that's just old.
Hey, that's the grind. That's the grind.
But I don't know. I always wanted to go into the sports media industry. Growing up, I had one of my dad's buddies worked at ESPN. He was like a field producer there, and you know, I would always hear about like the cool things that he got to do with his job, and you know, from a young age, I decided like that's what I want to do. I want to work at. You know, work at a sports media company. And yeah, it was a crazy road. It was a crazy road to get here. Nazzy, as you know, you know, like the AM radio in New Hampshire and the dirty water stuff. And it's been a crazy road to get here, but I love where I'm at and I love what I do.
Yeah. Obviously I know your background and like what stations and stuff you really began to, but at what point in your career did you really like be like, oh wow, I'm actually gonna, you know, advance on the bars till I have the confidence to do this stuff. And, you know, Spittin' Chicklets, I mean, it's very popular right now.
That like didn't really come until the day I really got hired full time at Barstool.
Yeah.
I mean, it was never really something like, oh wow, like we're really good at this. Like this is going to be a thing. Like we were just doing it for fun for the first year and a half. Spittin' Chicklets was never supposed to be or gonna be something that paid the bills. It was just something that, you know, Witt, RA, and myself did on the side. And, you know, then once we added Biz, it completely took off and, you know, grew into something that we could have never expected. But like we said before, like I didn't really dive too deep into it, but when I was doing AM radio in New Hampshire, there was no way this is what I thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm.
How did you get to Barstool? I haven't been told that part of the story.
So it's actually kind of crazy. So I went to Plymouth State with Nazzy.
Oh yeah!
Shout out to Panthers.
I was thinking of Edmonds Court the other day. That place was radical.
Oh, what a spot! What a spot Edmonds Court was. But
not to get off topic, but I remember like the first time I was up there. I think it was your junior like spring fling. I was going in there because I only went my last 2 years, and I think we happened to be at your spot, and we were watching the Bruins and Canadians in the playoffs or something. They won an OT. I think it was a spring fling, so we were all going wild. That was a great day.
Yeah, those spring flings up in the state were nuts.
Almost too much. Yeah,
that was fun though. That was a fun time up there. But it, as you know about Plymouth State, it's not the I would say it's not the greatest academic school.
Oh no, so, but there are tables flying. So
oh yeah, there's always people flying and tables flying.
Shout out to Pat Cannon. Yep.
But I just so. Once I got there, I kind of realized that, you know, I didn't have all the resources that, you know, other kids that were trying to go into the sports media industry had. So I realized I kind of had to do it on my own. So I just started like looking for internships, and I came across one at a weekend radio. Well, actually, first I started with this company called Dirty Water Media.
Yep.
And I started doing like restaurant reviews for them. And then they decided that they would let me open up like a sports department. Like Dirty Water Media at the time was like a nightlife magazine. Mm-hmm. And they like talked about, you know, different bars in Boston and all that. And so they let me open up a sports section. I started writing about sports for them. Did that for like my first year and a half in college. Ended up, you know, starting a radio show on the Plymouth State campus. At the campus radio station. Then from there, you know, that's kind of where I realized, all right, I have to, you know, look elsewhere if I want to, you know, better myself in this field. That's where I found an internship at WGAM in New Hampshire, which is like an AM radio station. It was also ESPN New Hampshire,
yeah.
Which was an affiliate. And
I remember
so
walking
I just,
up those steps, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. Nazzy was an intern there for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I worked there for, I interned there my junior year, my sophomore year. And then my junior year, I like was in like another internship interview for them. And I was like, instead of me just like being an intern for you guys, I was like, why don't I just like host a radio show for you? Mm-hmm. And I remember when I said that to my boss, he was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Whoa, buddy.
Slow your roll. But luckily that summer I had done like this online radio show, online like internet show with that Dirty Water company. And it like the production of it looked pretty legit. So I was like, oh no, like I've done this before. Like I'm a part of this huge media company called Dirty Water Media. And, you know, like I have this radio show I've been doing. And they were actually kind of wowed by it. And it was all just me like schmoozing them. Like I was completely scheming.
Yeah.
And they picked the show up, and I started doing a weekend show at WGAM in New Hampshire while I was in college. Did that for like a year and a half. I'd drive down every Sunday mornings. Still drunk at Plymouth State. I drive
that's
down.
A long drive too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I drive from Plymouth to Nashua every Sunday morning.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half, yeah.
Before the Patriots games, and we'd talk I'd talk some football and stuff with my buddies. And then after college, I remember I was doing my show with them, and they basically came in and they heard a rumor that I like built the Dirty Water website, which was just completely false. And they came in and asked me if I could build them a website. And if I could, that they would give me a full-time job, like managing the website, and like writing and doing all that. So I was like, oh yeah, I can do it. I'll do it.
Yeah. Piece of cake.
Yeah. Piece of cake. And I completely lied. And I had to learn in like 3 days how to build a website and how to do all that. And I
just
learned
Googling
how to do
a bunch
that,
of shit,
built them a website, and worked for them for about a year and a half doing a digital content manager. And they actually ended up giving me my own radio show where I was like on the air every day, which is pretty cool. Mm. They let me hire people. That's why where I hired Nazzy to be my intern.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, nice.
And then, yeah, towards the end of my time there, I was I ended up leaving there and going being a producer at NBC Boston. And then I was a producer at WHDH Boston. And this is TV.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I kind of realized, like, this isn't what I wanted to do. The whole TV buttoned up, like, TV thing wasn't really for me. I wanted to kind of explore other avenues. And I always wanted to work for Barstool. So, like, I would email people from Barstool from like the day I was in college. I would just email, like, I'd type in random names at barstoolsports.com and I would just like email like random email addresses and ask for jobs at Barstool. Yeah. And then finally I came across Rear Admiral's email one day and I sent him an email, told him I could do all this stuff for Spit and Chicklets had started. They had done like one episode. And I was like, you guys need social media. You guys need a producer. You need someone who can like provide you all this stuff. I'll work for free. And RA answered the email and was just like, you're hired. You start Thursday. And
let's go.
It's all kind of down.
Gotta love to see that.
Since.
Yeah.
Must have been a hell of a salesman pitch, huh?
Yeah. I lied too. I was like, oh, we can use all the equipment from ESPN Radio.
Yeah.
I got you. You know,
best studio so in the Northeast.
A little bit of faking it till you make it.
Yeah. So I ended up like driving to Nashua, New Hampshire and going to Guitar Center and buying like $600 in equipment and showing up the next day at RA's house with it, being like, oh, no, I just had this equipment. It's no big deal. I know how to work it.
Yeah. Use it for years.
Exactly.
That's a good story.
Yeah, no, like, I've seen, they've shown, like, videos and stuff, obviously, a lot of Barstool content, but how's it working, like, with guys like that, like, former NHL players, like Ryan Whitney, Bizanet, and I know Rear Admiral's more of a blogger, you know, podcast guy.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's the coolest thing in the world. Like, I grew up fucking idolizing Ryan Whitney, and now I'm like, drinking beers with him and, like, getting drunk with him in, like, all these cool cities. It's the coolest fucking thing in the world. But I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but yeah.
You're good, man.
Let it ride, bro. Let it ride.
Yeah, it's so cool. And I think one of the best parts about it is we run our ship like a team. Like everything we do is just like a team. We hold each other. We all hold each other very, very accountable. Mm-hmm. So like if I fuck up, like I expect to get fucking yelled at. But it's one of those things where if someone else fucks up, they're going to get yelled at, but we just wipe it off and move away. You know what I mean? Like, like if I really fuck something up, it's like, hey, Grinnell, like, what are you doing? Get your head out of your ass. And then we move on. And so it's a really cool relationship that it's also so crazy. Like the work ethic these guys have and you catch yourself like every once in a while being like, oh, well, that's why this guy's a pro athlete, because he just like works way harder than me at every possible thing they do. Like you'll be on a golf course and you'll like, all right, like if I putt this one in, we'll like wrap up. You'll putt it, you'll miss. And you're like, all right, whatever. And they're like, no, you need to make that putt before we leave.
Yeah. You know what I mean? How like, dare you?
They just have that like pro athlete mindset where like nothing's ever good enough. So it's taught me a lot.
I was going to bring up a certain situation in golf, so I guess I'll mix it into this. So, I mean, I think over the summer, you guys, and I know you were at least filming or doing something, but you guys, they golf with Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon. That must have been a hell of an experience, huh?
Yeah, that was probably the craziest thing I've experienced since joining Spit and Chicklets. That was cool. We flew up to Halifax, Nova Scotia, you know, spent a day with Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon, interviewed them at like their favorite restaurant, went, played 18 holes with them, filmed the whole thing. And then we actually even ended up going out at night with them. And let me tell you, like going out with Sidney Crosby, it's a crazy experience.
Oh yeah.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's like just seeing what he means to people in Canada is incredible. We were walking through Halifax and I remember some kid, probably like I'd say he was over 15 years old, like just like walked past Crosby. He's like, oh my god, it's Sidney Crosby, and like went and like got an autograph from him, but like started like breaking down while he was giving him an autograph.
It's the Tom Brady effect.
Yeah, it is.
It's like the second people see him, they just like crumble. So That was like without a doubt the coolest experience of my life. And the coolest part about all that is learning. Like, I mean, I grew up a Bruins fan, so like obviously part of me kind of hated Sidney Crosby.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, oh, this guy's like a little rat. He's a snitch. And then you meet him and you're like, this guy is the ultimate guy's guy. He's the best dude in the world. And like I remember we were at dinner with him and I was like sitting next to him, and he looked to the, like, the conversation was down the right side of the table. I was sitting more towards the left side of the table.
Yeah.
If you can get an idea of what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And the big dogs were down one end, I'm down the other. And Sid looked at me and was like, "So Mike, like, what do you do? Like, tell me about yourself." And in my head, I'm like, why the fuck do you care
shit
about me or what I do? Like, you are Sidney Crosby. Like, what the hell? Like, this is Canadian, insane.
The Canadian hospitality.
Yeah, he's trying to show some interest guy, yeah, to making everyone feel equal. Yeah.
Let me tell you guys something about the Canadian hospitality. I could tell you guys a few stories. Yeah. But one cool one is when we were in Newfoundland, I flew to Newfoundland by myself. Never been in Newfoundland before. Gorgeous, gorgeous place. Unbelievable people. But they have a lot of, like, really weird traditions there. Like, you have to get, I forget what it's called, like, sworn in to be, like, a Newfie. It's like, kiss a fish, take a shot of, like, this type of whiskey. All these weird things.
Oh,
but
God.
I get to the airport, and there's, like, three kids waiting there. Kind of just like staring at me as I'm walking towards the baggage claim. And these kids have like three bottles of whiskey, a bunch of beer, and they're just like staring at me. And I'm like, all right, what the hell is going on here? And they come right up to me and they're like, "Hey, are you Grinnelli from Spit and Chicklets?" And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, "Oh, well, we heard you guys were coming to Newfoundland and we wanted to, you know, welcome you guys here with open arms. So here is some, you know, of our finest whiskey, and here is some, you know, Newfoundland beer, and you know, anything you need is on me."
Oh boy!
And I'm like, "What the hell?"
Yeah,
like,
right, dude. It's a new
so
problem.
I'm talking to these kids. 5 minutes later, I'm like, "Hey, like, where do you get a taxi?" And they're like, "Oh no, we'll drive you to wherever you have to go." They drove me right downtown to my hotel. It was it's unbelievable, these Canadian people.
Don't tell me with a good time.
Yeah, man. Jesus Christ. You're lucky to get a shot in Boston.
Yeah, right.
I thought Nashville was like the safe haven. It sounds
like
we gotta
take
the border.
We gotta take a group trip up there. I love the way they talk too.
Hey, go to Halifax, boys.
We're going to Halifax, bud.
The Boston of Canada.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm down. I've only been to Montreal, and I've had enough of St. Catherine Street.
Yeah,
gotta get out of there. Yeah.
So, who do you think's been like your favorite guy? I know you guys have a shitload of guests you guys have on, but is there anyone like who stood out and been like, "Wow, this is a guy"? First of all, I always wanted to meet, but second of all, just such an interesting character.
Oh, God, I get that question like a lot. Like, who's really my favorite guest? I still think my favorite guest would be Sidney Crosby, just because of meeting him. Him and Nathan MacKinnon were just such down to earth guys and such cool people to meet. I think one of my favorite parts of this job is meeting the guys like Teddy Purcell and Ryan Malone and the guys that were like, you know, they're good NHL players, but they're great fucking dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
oh, absolutely.
That's been like really one of the best parts of this job is like meeting Ryan and Paul's like best friends in the NHL who end up being like these unbelievable dudes.
Yeah. You know, it's not about all the rock stars and everything. Everyone who was like, I don't know, mid the pack, even in like a professional sports league like the NHL, like, obviously some great athletes and I'm sure even better personalities.
Oh yeah. I've always felt like the NHL, like a lot of the coolest personalities like tend to be in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at Biz. He played like 6 minutes total in his entire NHL career. And he's like the coolest dude ever.
So I have a fan question of the night. Comes from Sudsy, Parker Sutherland. So he's asking how you, so you were the captain of the Barstool Pond Hockey tournament team.
Yes, sir.
So how are you guys looking to bounce back after a tough draw? Was it your second tournament or first?
It was. So we played two tournaments last year. First one, didn't win a game. Pretty tough showing. Second one, we won one game, tied a game, almost made the playoffs. It's unfortunate because I don't think we're doing a Barstool Pond Hockey tournament this year just because of, you know, like all the COVID restrictions and stuff. I do think there's some type of pond hockey content that could be coming out from Barstool. That's all I can really say there.
Uh-huh.
But I think the Barstool Pond Hockey team is a bright future. I'll say that. I think.
No,
I think
it sounds like progress was there.
Yeah, we're gonna acquire some new talent. I think we made a coaching change towards the end of this tournament too.
Okay.
We gassed RA, hired Eric Nardini.
I think
we're on the right track. It's just we started off a bit slow. Expansion franchises don't grow overnight. You know what I mean? It takes some
hard work.
Exactly.
We were over there a couple months ago, Lake Winnipesaukee. That's such a beautiful place for it.
Oh, it's the best. It's unreal. And then we went up to Lake Muskoka too in Canada, which is like they call it like the Hamptons of Canada. And it was an unbelievable time up there. Just picture like a pond hockey tournament in Canada in like the middle of winter. It's just that says it all.
Oh yeah, no, that lake's amazing. Can already like tell from the name.
the way you're hyping up Canada, I think we should just all move there at this point.
Canada's a blast. Love America. America's awesome. Fucking World Junior team, big gold medal win. But Canada's a great place.
Yeah. So you said, I mean, obviously, your pond hockey team's all Barstool employees. So. I mean, we see it on the outs of whether we're watching like stool scenes or something like that. I don't know whether it's they have PFT smiling at something or Stu Finer screaming. What was kind of the first day when you walked in there and it was like, wow, I'm actually here?
God, I don't really even like remember the first. I mean, the first time, like when you walked into the old Barstool office, it was crazy because like you would just get off the elevator and everyone is just staring at you. So it was really awkward. I was like lucky enough because like when I had gotten to the offices already, like Spit and Chicklets, we had already been doing Spit and Chicklets for a while, so I wasn't going in there like a kid like looking for a job. But yeah, it's every day when I'm in that office and I see guys like Dave and Big Cat and, you know, PFT and all these guys that, I mean, Dave and Big Cat, like I grew up like watching, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. So I it's actually funny to say, like, I still get like a little starstruck when I see those guys. Like people will ask me like, oh, like which NHL guys or which guests do you get starstruck with? I don't think I've ever really gotten starstruck with NHL guys, but when like Big Cat, you see like Big Cat and Dave walking around the office, you're like, dude, these guys are fucking superstars. They are. Dave Portnoy is like one of, if not like, he's like one of the biggest celebrities in the world right now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And he's just like buzzing around this office that I'm like working in. You're like, holy shit, that's him. Like, that's the guy.
And he throws you shade, which kind of
does he like really hate you?
He always says he hates you. Dave definitely doesn't like me. Definitely a bit of reality check when Dave Portnoy is calling you like a chump on Barstool Radio.
What did you do to earn that? Anything specific?
I was a loser. When I first got to Barstool, I was such a loser. Everything he has said to me has been warranted. I've deserved all of it. Like, I was such a tool when I first got to Barstool. I was such a tool. I thought I was so much cooler than I was. So I deserved every second of that.
There you go. You know that though. That's good.
You owned it.
I gotta quit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, dude. It's if you're like, you don't win against Dave Portnoy. Dave Portnoy wins every time.
Not a
like,
fucking chance. Yeah.
ask Roger Goodell. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm throwing up the white flag every single time on that one.
Yep.
But even when I was going through all that and Dave was like ripping me all the time, it was still impossible to not respect the hell out of Dave. Cause like everything that guy has, like, he's built this company. Like when you're in this beautiful new office we have, it's crazy to think that like what Dave has built. Like they have all these crazy production studios and all these employees, and it's just so insane to see like how big Barstool has become, and it's all because of Dave.
Brick by brick.
And the whole saying of
brick by brick,
you know, start thinking when he doesn't say anything about you than when he actually does say it about you. So, I mean, I think that's kind of the whole key to that.
Yeah. I mean, and my kind of thing is like, you know, Dave has never yelled at me for not working hard. Mm-hmm. He's never ripped on me for my work ethic. So I'm okay with that. Like, if you want to call me a loser, like, yeah, like I can be a pretty big fucking loser sometimes. I get that. But like, luckily for me, Dave's never, he's never questioned my work ethic. He's never, you know, he's never ripped on me in any way.
Is Frank the Tank as advertised? I just wanted to get Frank the Tank stock is through the roof right now. Is he a scene in
Frank
the office?
Frank is the best, man. Frank is,
I'm dying
Frank
to meet him.
The absolute best. Yeah, Frank's awesome. I want to get Frank on Spit and Chicklets to talk a little New Jersey Devils.
Hell yeah, like, Devils guy.
Fuck yeah.
He's just so passionate. He's like, he is what Barstool is. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he is as passionate as a fan as you can like ever think of.
That's why, his opening video with the Mets and the New York City subway being incompetent. It's an all-time video.
Oh, yeah.
Grinnell, Mike here is the one who was in Rough and Rowdy last year. When we were talking about that.
Oh, yes. Yes. How did you do, man? You won, right?
I did win. It was against my brother. My
horrific
little brother.
Showing.
It was a tough showing. And that's what sucked. I got booed out of like the Providence. I mean, they booed us out of the ring. And
wait, why? Why did they boo you out of the ring?
I stopped like trying to hit him in the face. I just, I wanted to get on there so bad, but I also didn't want to kill my brother. So I was a little embarrassed because that, you know. As a big stoolie, that I was like, I let down Portnoy and Big Cat right now. I was upset with myself, but I might try and get back on there.
There was some good slander, though.
I get it, though. In the first round, like, it looked like if you hit him in the face again, you were going to knock him clean out, and like, you kind of just refrained from that. So.
My parents told me, like, take it, you know, no one go to the fucking hospital, please. This is ridiculous.
Do you have any plans to fight again?
I got a video on my phone, but I'm a little nervous to send it.
It's a good video.
I might send it in. You might
promise something that if the result goes the wrong way, that I don't
just
think he'll be able to fulfill.
Just fucking say it. Let's hear it. What the hell?
I said if I lose, I'm gonna donate $5,000 to the Barstool Fund.
Oh, you got to do it now.
I know. I got it. I know. Yep. I put it into the universe, so it's coming.
Yeah, you got to do it. Hey, that's good karma, though. That's good karma. You won't lose, but then you're still going to donate $5,000. That's what I'm feeling is going to happen.
No, love it.
I haven't trained. I haven't trained since whenever that last Rough and Rowdy was. I have not worked out. So, what do I got?
See what
like
some of those
two,
guys
3 weeks.
If it makes you feel any better, I haven't played hockey since the last Barstool Pond Hockey Tournament. So I'm kind of slacking in the athletic department as well.
There we go.
Dude, those first times, you like. Put skates and like everything back on. The next 2 days, your legs just feel like hell. I hate that.
Oh,
shit.
Just absolute mush.
Switching gears here, so we'll do a little Bruins talk. So obviously, the captain of the Boston Bruins, Zdeno Chara, is gone now. He's with the Capitals. So I just wanted to hear your take on that, and you know, everything kind of came out as they said he could be like a 6'7", you know, bench guy, and he didn't want that, so he chose to go elsewhere, right?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. You know, I'm a little indifferent on the whole thing. The Bruins are a worse team without Zdeno Chara. Like, that's just a fact. I really think this came down to the language that was used to describe Zdeno's like next role on the team, because it really just, it doesn't make sense to me. $800,000, it wasn't a money thing.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
that's chump change,
yeah. Yeah, like that clearly wasn't the case at all. It sounds like it was all about playing time.
Yeah.
I think the Bruins, you know, the Bruins only have a two, maybe three-year
window. Yep.
They don't have, like, much hockey left, so... And I understand them, the Bruins, wanting to get Zdeno Chara less minutes. I mean, he was like third in the team in ice time last year. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand them wanting to get him less time, but I just don't think this year was the right year to do it. I think maybe if this deal was done, you know, a year, if he left, you know, in a year or two, I think that's fine. But you only have, you know, one or two more years of Tuukka Rask, one or two more years of David Krejci. You don't have, you know, I'm sure Bergeron will play forever. That guy's a fucking
he's a
but like, you don't have too much more time of these guys. So I'm a little disappointed. I wish Chara was here for at least another year. But again, like, he's not. So I'm excited, I guess, to see who the Bruins are going to put out there. And you know, I think the McAvoy Grizzlick first pair combo, I think that's going to be awesome. Those two play together at BU. I still love Brandon Carlo. I think he's fucking awesome. I don't know. I think they'll play him with John Moore because of no Torrey Krug. They're really going to miss Torrey Krug. I think he's going to be
especially power play. Come
on. That's if we want to talk about gripes, I am pissed at how the Bruins handled that situation. Yeah.
Awful. But should have been a no
they
brainer.
Fucking handled it so terrible. Everything Torrey Krug has done for the organization, and they just fuck him like that. That was a joke. So
not to mention
he went to a team that you kind of is on our shit list right now, which kind of hurts even more.
Disgusting.
I just think,
look, I don't know anything, but like you gotta imagine, like I don't know, maybe that was a little shot there, being like, hey, fuck you guys, like like I'm going to the St. Louis Blues, the team that just beat us in the Stanley Cup Finals, like I'm sure Torrey Krug hated the Blues too before he signed that contract, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And back on the Chara thing too, I don't see how by the end of the year he's not a top four with. What you said, like Grizzly McAvoy, and then Carlo and him, like all these guys I like, the Connor Cliftons, John Moore. I'm not a big fan of Lowe's on there, but I think at the end of the day, Chara would end up in the four.
Well, Naz, you know what the worst part of all this is, and a lot of people forget this, is the fucking NHL expansion draft. There's an NHL expansion draft coming up where the Seattle Kraken are going to be able to come in and pick out any of these young defensemen that they're going to start breeding.
Yeah.
The Bruins can protect three defensemen. So let's assume that's Charlie McAvoy, Matt Grizzlick, and Brendan Carlo. Anyone else is up for grabs.
Yep, anybody.
So that's all these young guys that they're going to, you know, display over the next few months. That they're going to, like, give a shot to. They're all open for the taking for the Seattle Kraken.
Wow.
Why wouldn't you just wait one more year until the expansion draft happens, keep Char for another year, and then next year, like, let's do the youth movement on D. Let's wait. You don't want to get fucked by the expansion draft. We saw how McPhee, the Golden Knights GM a few years ago, basically he bent every team over by like what he was doing. Like, I mean, he was getting all these picks and just to not draft players on certain teams. It was insane. So I'm worried in that sense that, you know, like a guy like Urho Vaakanainen is going to look fucking unbelievable, former first-round pick.
Yeah.
And then he's up for the taking.
I will say, like, I totally agree with what you're coming from and everything, but I also want the Seattle Kraken to kick ass.
Yeah.
Like, that team sounds like a legit threat.
Yeah, Seattle, that's going to be sick.
Yeah, when the Golden Knights, like, came out, just studs right out of the gate, I was all in. I thought they were awesome.
Oh, yeah.
The stadium. Oh, that was so cool.
Like, obviously, they had that horrible tragedy at the beginning of the season, too, like, in Las Vegas. And the way they, like, responded and just put that city on their back, that was so cool to see. And Vegas is a hockey city now. Like, you go to Vegas, like, every bartender's in a Vegas Golden Knights jersey. All the people know about hockey. They enjoy hockey. So, yeah, Vegas is fucking sick.
Going out there in September, I definitely want to make that on the list. Put that on the list.
Oh, you have to. Yeah. You absolutely have to. I don't know if hockey season is being played in September, but you can figure something out.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, I might get fucked. Yeah.
Make sure you add on the Caesar's Palace topless pool. That place is a great time, Loki.
I want to get to the World Junior Championships because obviously it was last night. Obviously on the books, it was a huge upset. Spencer Knight shut out Trevor Zegras, MVP. I just wanted to hear your take on, you know, that special of a win and what it really means for, you know, a player growing up as an American.
Fuck. Naz, you're making it seem like I'm like this, like, 15-year-old hockey player that's, like, putting on his USA hockey candies.
Yeah, waiting for next year, baby.
I'm just trying to let it rip. It was a great win. You see all the hurrahs after the game. You see all the Canadian guys with their heads down. It was fucking awesome.
No, it was great. I'm just trusting your balls. I love the World Juniors. I think it's so awesome. So much of our fan base at Spit and Chicklets is Canadian, too, so they are such cocky bastards when it comes to the World Juniors. So being able to beat them was really cool. Trevor Zegras, that guy give him the key to America. Like anything he wants, he gets. Like he give him the Troy Terry treatment that we gave Troy a couple years ago. Like whatever he wants, he gets. I don't care. That kid is about to live the best fucking life in the world. He's about to go first. He's going to go to Anaheim, like Southern California, just living the life. Ninth overall pick.
We like to be you guys too. Yep.
Great hair. And he's about to just go rip up Southern California, probably get every single girl in the entire state.
Probably,
and he's about to have himself a fucking career.
That sounds like a fabulous time.
Doesn't sound like what a life that kid's about to live.
Such a smooth goal, too. I know the puck bounced right back to him last night from behind the net. But I don't know. He's just so smooth going into the net. Seems like he's in the right spots all the time. I didn't watch all of the World Junior Championships, but I watched the big games.
Yeah, I mean, he I don't want to – Wick compared him briefly to Patrick Kane, and I think that's like – to compare anyone to Patrick Kane is – it's
a lot of pressure.
You're asking a lot.
Yeah, and I just think this kid, he just has it. Like, for him before the game, too, to call out the goalie of Canada, and he's just like, yeah, like, this kid hasn't even been tested yet. So, we're like, we think if we test him, we can beat him. Basically saying he was like, this goalie's trash. He hasn't seen any fucking good shots yet. We're going to pepper him, and we're going to win. Like, that is just confidence right there. Like, you can't teach that shit.
No. It just meshes together.
Especially
look
at Team Canada in the face.
Yeah.
I couldn't get over it, though. That was such a great win. Yeah. My last question here. So kind of like a, I guess, would you say generic question, but I got to ask it anyway. What do you think goes into a podcast to make it special?
Great question.
I think the biggest thing about a podcast that will make it successful is the chemistry. You have to have good chemistry on your podcast. I think like a great example, Biz and Wit, obviously. And then, you know, RA is so good at steering the bus and leading the boys to the promised land. But you look at like Kevin Clancy and Feidelberg, like they have the best chemistry in the world. And just listening to them shoot the shit on the way they do KFC radio is it's so cool. It just sounds like two best friends shooting the shit. I think you have to have people that are willing to first off, as you guys, I'm sure know now that because you got. Nazzy, you've been doing that. You guys have been doing this podcast for a bit now. It's
a little over a year.
It's the average podcast is 6 episodes.
Really?
Like people give up after 6. So it's a lot tougher than people think to have to entertain every single week. So I think not giving up and always just pushing through the tough times and being able to work with guys that you know would take a bullet for you and you'd take a bullet for them. I think that's what makes a successful podcast.
Couldn't agree more. You know, big shout out to our producer Shlomo Bo over here. He's
riding away.
He's what steers.
Hey, that's a thing too. And I don't want to like pump producers' tires too much because I'm a producer. But you're only as good as your producer is. Like a podcast will only be as good as the producer is, just because he's the guy that he runs the thing. He runs the whole show. So. If you're not paying your producer, you better fucking start paying him.
he's telling us Venmo him right now.
Mikey, always great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate
this. Thank you, Mike.
Boys, thank you for having me. This was fun. Love the show. Keep fucking grinding. Keep putting in the work. And if I can just tell all your listeners, donate to the Barstool Funds. Small businesses are struggling right now. Dave Portnoy is doing an absolutely amazing thing. He's doing God's work right now. So donate to the Barstool Fund if you can. Guys, thank you for having me. This was a blast. And Nazzy, you got to get together soon and drink some beers.
I know. When are you going to be back home?
once all this COVID stuff ends, I'll come back home and we'll drink some beers together. Maybe I'll do an interview with you guys in the studio.
That'd be sick. That'd be great.
We'll bring the Pink Whitney for that one.
Pink Whitney all over the place.
Is the greatest still kicking? Greatest still kicking?
The greatest right now is not kicking. It's shut down right now for the next month or two just to get through the tough times. But please, everyone, I know it's a Boston-based podcast. Go support the greatest bar. Go support small businesses when all this stuff ends. And
Yeah, guys, again, thanks for having me.
Everyone loves a comeback story.
Hell yeah. Everyone loves a fucking comeback story, boys.
Thanks, pal.
All right, later, boys.
Just a crazy story, and you know how the claim to fame of, you know, becoming a producer at Barstool Sports. What we think of the interview, guys? Mike Rinnell,
unreal stud,
very cool. As a Barstool day one fan, yeah, it's cool to talk to someone else who you can tell definitely loved that fucking company and made it.
And you know, he talked up Canada a lot. I know he's been like Newfoundland, Vancouver, just places like that, just saying the electricity was in the air. So you know, maybe I'm looking forward to doing that one day.
I don't know if they'll let us in right now.
Yeah,
maybe.
No,
I don't know,
no,
but one day.
I've said I'm never going back, so I might have to stick to it. But we'll see.
No,
we'll
Canada is a great place. You guys, I don't know, I don't care about.
We
anyone
went to the shithole
on
one, like dude had like Halifax, probably amazing.
True, it's big.
Thanks, Mikey, again for coming on, Plymouth State alum. So we will get right to it. The NFL Wildcard Weekend is here, and the Pats, like I said in the intro, are sitting on the couch. So I'll start with Patriots talk. Where do they go from here? Convincing win against the Jets, even though anyone who won is convincing. But, you know, the message is perfect clear. Cam Newton is gone. And, you know, who would you like to see as the Pats QB next year? What do you think, Steele?
Give me the Mormon. I want to trade up, get the BYU kid, Zach Wilson.
He is a stud.
Would love it. Would love it. Feed me him. There's a slight possibility as long as the Jets go Fields. It could be there.
You think a rookie, though? Because in my mind, I think there's still some quarterbacks out there that are up for discussion, whether talking about a guy, Carson Wentz, that just needs the right place to go to. I'm not big on Matt Stafford. I think the guy's just a total, you know, not scumbag.
I'm taking
shit.
Stafford over Wentz.
I don't like
that you're bringing Wentz, giving him credit. He sucks.
He gets murdered every play. He's got no offensive line.
His confidence must be fucking in the basement.
Yeah.
You know, you got
mental shambles.
You got Dak Prescott, where you don't know where he's going to go. And he's a good player. And then you actually look on the back burner and you see the, who is it, the GM of the Pats. He's in like the player personnel, Nick Casario.
Yeah, he went to Houston.
Yeah, he went to Houston. So why not make a little deal with him for a guy we call Deshaun Watson, who tore us up this year?
Well, if that can happen, but I mean,
the guy was a top five MVP candidate while his team went 4-12. Like, that is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. He like led the league and everything.
Yeah.
JJ Watt like formally apologized to him. Yeah. That's like how it happened.
Like, he murdered the Pats. That wasn't like a lot of the games this year, whether it was against the Broncos or like a bad team where it's a bad loss. That loss, you know, Patriots didn't do a lot of stuff bad that game. That was all Deshaun Watson just taking over.
They're good players out there. Sometimes they beat you.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the end of the day, they're gonna have to bring in some weapons. They're gonna have to bring a new quarterback. They're gonna have to bring in a lot of, you know, D tackles up front to really put pressure on quarterbacks, because they didn't, outside of their linebackers blitzing, they didn't really do a lot of that this year. Their secondary is still fucking great. I think their linebacker core is just getting older and more experienced. So what I'm really looking at is the weapons, like I said, on offense, whether it's receivers, tight ends, which, I mean, we saw the first tight end. Maybe there were two. I don't know if Izzo got one this year, but the guy Izzadi, whatever his name is.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Who cares? They're washed.
Kyle Pitts, if we don't take the Mormon.
Yeah.
Would love that.
Pitts? How about Mac Jones? We'll talk about him later.
Yuck.
Roll Tide. we'll dive right into deep there. So since the Patriots are gone, we got an excellent slate here of and some newcomers while in these wild card showdowns. So we're gonna start here. The Indianapolis Colts are on the road against, you know, I think my AFC bandwagon team, which is a lot of teams because they have the best fan base in the league. The Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills are favored by 6.5 here. I'm laying the lumber on the Bills. The Bills have looked the best they've had, and their quarterback there has been the best I've ever seen him. Just absolutely laying into every single throw. And, you know, they tried to compare him the other day to like just like a small running, I think, Russell Wilson. And I'm like, yeah, Russell Wilson will fucking slide when he sees someone. That dude will just run through people. Yeah, he has a 6'7" ox.
Big boy, yeah.
Yeah, Josh Allen's a beast.
Stud.
Yeah,
I'm doing the same thing. Bills on their bandwagon as well. I needed 30 points from Stephon Diggs to win my fantasy league. He pummeled the Patriots. We pulled it off, so I have to ride with them.
I'll give a quick shout out. Claire Fallon, one of her friends, she's in a fantasy football league, and she's not even like with her work, and she doesn't even work there anymore, and she won.
Wow, good for her.
Yeah,
Good for him.
I'll leave it at that. But
that's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
But yeah, I agree. I think Bills got it.
What do you think, Magic?
I would definitely want to see the Bills go all the way. So yeah, they got to take care of business.
And Philip Rivers, like, loser all time.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm surprised they even made it.
I just hope they don't choke at all. I don't think they will. This seems to be the Bills' year. I think they're going to get at least to that fucking magic spot. Well, no, I forgot about the Chiefs. Never mind.
Yo, can we cut real quick? I'm going to use the bathroom.
Jesus.
And we're back, folks. Sorry about that. Rough awakening there. I thought I was going to make it. So we're going into the second wild card game of the weekend, I guess. The LA Rams, which are, I don't know if Jared Goff's going to be playing. I think he killed his thumb, which, I mean, that's tough to throw a football, I guess, against the Seahawks, who are favored by 3. I even think if Jared Goff was healthy, this would be a no-brainer. I'm taking Russell Wilson because his defense is only getting better. DK Metcalf is an absolute beast. They happen to have the running game going, too, so they really hit at all angles. I know it was kind of a squeaker against the Niners last week, but I think they're going to be coming in playing some good football. Favorite at only 3 points. I think there's some, as our guy Anton would say, there's some great value.
Yeah, I think they pull it off. You know, it's a typical Seahawks game. I'm sure it's going to be must-watch TV. Absolutely crazy. It'll be like the craziest, like, 17-13 game you've ever seen in your life.
Cover.
Exactly. But, yeah, I think in the end, you know, the Russell Wilson magic pulls it off. And he's definitely good at trying to stay away from Donald because he's got speed, one of the best spin moves in the game. So.
Yeah, let's that ball go quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seahawks. Moving on. In fact, I got no analysis on them, but they're always in it. Russell's one of the best.
And Sierra's looking great lately.
Is she?
Yeah, she is. I did see her last week.
Almost always.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I guess the Patriots fans will have to hop on this one. People who are saying that they shouldn't root for the Bucs is crazy. We have Tom Brady in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, favorite at 7 points on the road against the Washington football team. The Washington football team couldn't even beat the Eagles unless it was fixed. So I'm gonna take the Bucs by a billion.
Yeah, agree.
Not just like a field goal, like 20 points.
I was pissed when the matchup was, because like I wanted the Alex Smith football team, like the first round fucking win in like March Madness, like the great story, and like they pull it off.
You but got
like,
that the other, yeah.
Then you get Tom Brady, and that's just like not gonna happen. So like that's tough.
I will say something to look out for is the guy Gibson, the running back. He's really good. He's had a really good year. So if he can get going, I still don't think it will be a game just because, I mean, so many offensive weapons and their running games only
get
better. Mike
Evans did not get hurt that bad. Yeah. So he should be there. That was big.
Antonio Brown. That's the thing even with them. Like, yeah, Mike Evans is definitely their best weapon. But if you lose him, I mean, I guess when you get to a big game against Aaron Rodgers or, you know, a really good team like that, that's when it's going to come to effect. But this game, I don't even think they should play him. I think they should let him rest.
Yeah.
Keep on keeping on.
No respect for the football team?
Absolutely zero.
Zero?
Respect for Alex Smith. That's it.
That's all.
Ron Rivera, too.
Lions at 7.
Ron Rivera recovered from cancer. So
I think Bruce Arians' quote was like, we're not playing Dwayne Haskins, so like we're ready.
I don't know. Whoever that guy on the Washington football team, he said he wants Tom. He wants Tom. Washington's a feisty team. This is their first year under that new name. Obviously, I want Tom, too.
Do you know anyone? I wouldn't hammer that line. Do you know anyone in the whole world, like whoever has said like they want Tom? Do you know what happens?
Without looking it up, I would say those teams are like 2-40. And that's like without even looking. Like,
I mean, I don't
those
even
two would probably like legendary.
Jalen Ramsey,
like, fucking,
we go in the championship.
Yeah.
We want Tom.
Fucking Jaguars, some idiots.
I don't know. I could see it being feisty. I could see it being a feisty game for whatever reason. I don't know.
So you're taking Washington?
No, I'm taking the Bucs, but.
But by 7?
No.
So Washington's going to cover?
I think Washington covers, yes.
Okay.
Not the worst.
I like it.
Yeah.
But they're not going to win.
We'll do a little simple something on the social media. We'll get it going. Ravens, 3-point favorites on the road against the mean fighting machine, Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans. So this is a tricky game because this is a repeat of last year's, I think, divisional. The Titans just absolutely clobbered them when the Ravens, I think, Ravens were probably favored by like 2 touchdowns last year, and Derrick Henry just put them put him to shame. I think the roles have changed now, and I think everyone's underestimating the Ravens going into this. And I don't think the Titans' defense is up to snuff like they were last year. Give me the points. Give me the Ravens minus -3. I think they're going to go into Nashville and do something special.
You did it again where, like, the last, like, 4 weeks, Derrick Henry is just the biggest monster on the fucking planet, and I think he's going to absolutely run through that team. Maybe 220 yards.
I think he might. I think he might, but their defense isn't really setting them up well.
And we'll see. Lamar can have a fucking awful game.
He definitely could. I think he's gone through too much hardship in the playoffs to, you know, sit down and let Nah, I'm not going to get to any sexual references tonight, but I think the Ravens take it.
Titans money line, let's go.
Okay, all right.
I'm with Steel on this one. Right.
The big boy eat.
I think this is the best game of the slate here, though.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe Browns Steelers, but we'll get to that one.
No
but
doubt in my mind.
This is a good
You're
game.
Right. This is the best one. Game. Ravens Titans best game.
Two big Lamar and Derrick Henry. It's going to be a fucking battle.
And now we have the biggest mismatch of the weekend, which is the Chicago Bears at 8-8 with Mitchell Trubisky going on the road against the New Orleans Saints, which is now officially, I switched my picks. New Orleans is my Super Bowl team. They're favored by 10 at home in the Superdome against the Bears, who really don't provide any offense outside of a couple Mitchell Trubisky, you know, heaves. But I'm nailing the Saints here. I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game by the Bears. I think it's going to be something like 38-10. I'm giving the Saints a blowout win. Taysom Hill eats the who's the coach on Chicago? Nagy? Nagy, right?
Nagy.
Yeah, he's going to eat his soul. He might get fired after this game.
Yeah, no, that's like, dude, I don't know.
It's a lot of points.
This is when you get it.
And the Bears are like, just don't stand a fucking prayer so much to the point that, like, that's when they, like, do it. Covering. Like, I do, like, there's no chance they win. But, like, do they get it within 10? It's like, I don't know.
Alvin Kamara is on another level. That guy, I mean, if it wasn't for...
Got current 56 points in his fantasy championship.
If it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers and, you know, the sexy pick for MVP, that's usually a quarterback. I mean... Him and Derrick Henry right there. I mean, obviously, Derrick Henry leading the way with over 2,000 rushing yards, which is absurd. But back on the Saints here, yeah, I got them no-brainer. I just gave you my prediction.
Yeah, the Saints are going
to
win.
Definitely Saints. Proud of the Bears for making it, though. Always happy to see them fucking figure out a way to get in when they can. But yeah,
8-8.
Nothing new this year. I hope they do cover, and I hope it's a terrible fashion loss, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. if they do cover, it will be a backdoor.
It's funny watching them lose tough games.
It is.
Our last game of the slate with Green Bay and Kansas City both having 1-seed buys. We have the Browns and Steelers, which they matched up last week, and without Ben Roethlisberger, Cleveland only won by 2 points. I still think the Steelers are pretty iffy, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to put my money where my mouth is on the city of Cleveland. So I'm going with the Steelers minus -6 here. I think they win by a touchdown. It's going to be close, though. If I was going to say out of any game you don't bet, I think this is the one.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be a difficult game because I think the Browns are slammed with COVID as well. I think they're in like shambles. I think their place is like shut down as we speak.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes with them. And
that's a shame.
Yeah, I hate to see it. Even
but Cleveland in a playoff game, how do you pick them to win?
Yeah, no.
I don't know how you do that.
Might pick them to cover because fuck the Steelers.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Fuck Cooper, too.
Yeah, fuck Cooper.
I'm not even a real fucking fan.
Yeah, if Dobbs plays, Steelers by a trillion.
What if Ben gets hurt here?
Dobbs.
They brought him in for 5 plays, and he did everything better than whatever Mason Rudolph did the entire game.
Mason Rudolph, stiff.
We're still on Dobbs. The bit. I think we drive the Mike Steele drives the train. I'll sit in the passenger seat of the Josh Dobbs fan base.
Okay.
That forehead.
And it might be our day. It might be our day this weekend. Long time coming.
Let me just put it this way. Love me some Gardner Minshew, but he's going to be a third string quarterback going next year. And Josh Dobbs is a third string too. The battle of third strings, baby.
Let's get it loose. Yeah.
By the way, I'm picking the Browns on this game.
+6.
Yeah, I think they're going to pull this off.
You think they're going to win? Just money line?
I need to know more about the COVID. No, I think, yeah.
Their coach had to stay home.
I need to know how much of a factor that's going to be before I definitively hit this, but I think they're going to win.
Okay, I think they coach in like a right guard or something like that. It's like not there.
That's not that bad. Yeah. He can coach from somewhere else, right?
Sure.
Nah. That ain't it. But I mean, we've gone through our Super Bowl picks plenty of times in the midseason beginning. But I want to hear what you guys have. You guys switched it all?
No, Bucks over Bills. Let's go.
Bucks over Bills.
Yep.
Okay.
It's the one we want. So yeah,
it's the one we need.
It's heading right where we wanted either Bucks versus Pats. Now we got possibly better.
See, I switched mine. I think I was. I honestly forget who I picked, but I definitely had Kansas City in it. But I'm picking the Saints over Kansas City in the championship. Because when I actually was doing my bracket, I had Saints versus the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game. And their first two times they've played, I mean, you saw the result of that. I just think they have their number. And I think the Buccaneers, unless they play the Saints, can go to the Super Bowl. But I think that's a team that's staying away from them.
That's a pretty realistic Super Bowl.
Tom Brady was built to take down Drew Brees in that game. Have your regular season win, Drew Brees. Sick.
In a New England Patriots uniform.
He can work with it. It's Tom. He can do it.
Not with Bruce Arians.
He can
not
do
with
it.
Byron Leftwich.
He can do it.
Make Naz eat his words, needs. Tom. Listen to this bullshit.
Yeah. Good damn.
They're gonna win it next. They're gonna. My claim to fame is they're gonna win it next year.
Stat padding piece of shit.
They're gonna win it next year.
Gonna take him. Disgusting.
He's probably retiring next year.
No.
Probably not. Actually. Yeah. He's got no end. He's got no end.
He's gonna have ring 7 going for ring 8. This is what's gonna happen. It's gonna be beautiful.
Good luck to all the teams.
Yeah, other than, like, Cleveland.
No, they're winning.
All right, we'll go into our topic two discussion. We'll talk a little Celtics. So they're sitting at 5-3 right now, playing the Miami Heat tonight. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, dynamic duo out of all teams in the league. They have the most points scored since, I think, it was Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, when they were playing OKC.
And, like, Kareem and, like, fucking, like, someone else, the next one. Like, it's unreal.
So you've seen a lot of good stuff from them, and then there's a lot of guys that are coming out of the woodwork. This guy Peyton Pritchard, been unbelievable. I just never know when he's gonna like stop dribbling because like
Steve Nash in his prime, baby.
He reminds me of like, I don't know, that kid that you would pass the ball in like the youth basketball where he could just beat every single press. Yeah, I mean he just doesn't stop dribbling. It only stops dribbling when he's either shooting or a layup. It's crazy.
And then it goes in. And then he's been nailing the layups. He's been looking great.
Yeah. And then the guy, too, Jeff Teague, has been really good off the bench. A lot of these guys, even Semi Ojeleye, how much crap I give
looking
him.
Better. He's looking better.
Looking better.
God, did that guy suck.
There's a big sailing for this team, but I just hope they play a lot better when Kemba Walker comes back and they don't really take a, they don't slow up.
Yeah, I hope he blends right in instead of like because, I mean, Jaylen and Jason play like this is sky's the limit.
Exactly. That's really all I had from the Celtics. Like, they just need to keep working with the group they have. And, this Peyton Pritchard guy might really pay off in the back end.
Oh, yeah, him and Marcus. I mean, Christ.
Yeah.
What are you going to do there?
Well, you need some guys off the bench. He can be one of them.
We got to get back into the garden. I don't know about you guys, but I've been fiending. Like, I'm fiending my fucking concession stand snacks. I'm fiending the atmosphere. Pre-game, post-game, I'm fiending the trip to the front row, sneaking down, running into Brad Stevens' wife, flirting with her, possibly causing a scene. I need to get back in the garden. Mainly because I don't have cable and I can't even watch these fucking guys play, but I need to get in there. We need Dave Westerman back in town, too.
I know. That's an interview coming.
Yeah, facts.
That would be big.
Back stateside.
My last thing I want to go over here is the college football championship game. Obviously, we had the upset of Ohio State over Clemson, which, really got me thinking, can they do this? Alabama just got Devonta Smith as the Heisman last night, first receiver since Desmond Howard to win, which is over probably 25 years ago. Guy's absolutely,
I believe,
electricity. Alabama favored by 7 points in the heart of Miami. They're playing in Miami this year in the national championship game. Who do we like, guys?
Ohio, baby.
That's
let's get it. Let's get
Bama
it.
By a billion.
See, said by a billion. I believe your quote in the last episode was, "There's no way anything happens other than Bama Clemson." And I said, Ohio State's going to happen. And now it's just going to happen again.
All right. So, like, What do you want me to go back on my word? No, Alabama's going to win this shit.
I think Clemson was your pick.
They're going to win by a billion. No, I picked Alabama. I said Clemson in the championship, though.
Yeah, sure.
Trevor Lawrence to the Jags. How would you feel about that?
Guy stinks.
Yeah, it's tough for Minshew. Minshew's just... No, actually, you know what? Minshew wants this. Minshew wants to be like the backup third-string guy who just living life.
I hope he Uncle Rico's him and fucking Trevor Lawrence has got a nice stash going next
year. Yeah, that'd be perfect. Yeah, if he like showed him the way, I think that would be big.
That would be cool. I think Minshew's in a really good role here. He's not. He shouldn't be the number one.
Being behind the scenes, teaching Trevor Lawrence how to fucking dress and go nuts. That'd be perfect.
Maybe take him on that RV tour this year.
What do we think about Smith win the Heisman still?
Oh yeah, absolutely deserved.
Rightfully deserved.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about Mac Jones, the guy who's throwing to. You know, he was good, but I don't think he's like the pick of Heisman. Kyle Trusk, he got smashed in that.
Absolutely.
So that just went to shame in the bowl game. And then Trevor Lawrence didn't play enough games. So I think it's not what I'm saying. He got like picked because no one else did well. He deserved it. He's going to be a player in the NFL. I just when he actually gets like some muscle on him too. They said he was like a buck 40 or something.
He's a tiny guy. Yeah,
some Cooper shit. Yeah,
just very fast.
Mention his name again.
Good route runner.
Yeah. Folks, want to thank you for tuning in, as well as Mike Grinnell for coming on the pod. Steel and Naz t-shirts always on the deck, so you want those, get below it. Yeah, that's a little tease for the next pod. Also, tune in to Mass Music Radio's morning shows, 10 a.m. during the week.
Every day.
Every day. Let's grow. That's all from Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. Be safe out there, guys, and one love.
Ohio State, baby. Let's go.
Bama.